Good Shepherd Sermon for Palm Sunday, April 5th, 2020. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration I read earlier from Zechariah chapter 9, the familiar Old Testament lesson for this Palm Sunday. The year was 539 BC. King Cyrus of Persia ordered that the Israelites could return back to their homeland after having been held captive in Babylon for 70 years. That's a really long time to be shut in your own house. That's not just a couple weeks or a couple months. That's 70 years. And they were thrilled to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city walls. But 20 more years went by, and the work was not getting done for a number of reasons. And the people lamented. They were discouraged. They were in anguish. They were suffering. They said, "We need a king." Well, God had not forgotten them. He sent the prophet Zechariah to proclaim to them that, yes, I'm sending you a king. A king is coming. And on this Palm Sunday, how fitting for us to see who this king truly is. The king, the same king prophesied back then, is the same king today. It's our Savior Jesus. Today, we rejoice in our Palm Sunday King because this is a king who is extraordinary and he has an extraordinary kingdom. Now, if you were to talk to the young people who were alive at the time of Zechariah and you ask them, what kind of king would you like? They probably would say, well, we don't want the kind of king who we've dealt with over there in that captivity time in Babylon. Those kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, those are evil guys. They didn't treat us very well. If you were to ask the older people of the time of Zechariah there in Jerusalem, what kind of king would you like? They would probably say, certainly not the kind of kings we had before the exile. I mean, those last four kings were really bad. They were terrible. But then if you ask anyone who knew history at the time of Zechariah, and look back at their time of history of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and ask them, what kind of king would you like? They probably would say, we would want a king like David or Solomon because of their great power and might and their successes. That's the kind of king we'd like. Well, that kind of king, like David and Solomon, did not exist. We find that this is the kind of king that they needed. Kind of king that Zechariah prophesies here in our text. The glory days of David and Solomon were gone, and they needed to rely on a new king. And then Zechariah comes to them to let them know that, by the way, before we talk about this king any further, you need to realize we're at war, by the way. I know you just came back from captivity, but we're at a war. We're in a battle. It's a vicious one. And you can imagine the people's reaction. What? We just got back from captivity. What do you mean we're at war? What's going on here? We don't have any army. We don't have our walls fortified. We're going to be lost if we are going to battle with some enemy. And Zechariah says, you're right, and you're wrong. You're wrong, first of all, in the sense that we're not talking about a battle on the battlefields. We're talking about a battle within your own soul. And you're right, you can't do it on your own. You need a true king. And with that announcement, the people of Jerusalem there at the time of Zechariah understood clearly that they were sinful and needed help. They needed a king who would provide them a victory over their enemy of sin and death and the devil. And Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you." And look what kind of king this is, a king who's extraordinary. He's not going to come in with an Apache helicopter. He's not going to come in on a Harley. He's not even going to come in a chariot. "Look, your king is coming to you. He's humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, if you lived at that time of Zechariah and you heard this message, you might be saying, "What? A 98-pound weakling is going to be our king? What kind of king is that?" Well, this king fits perfectly for us and for them. This king comes, as he says, humbly. Yes, Jesus was born humbly. Jesus lived in a humble place. Jesus lived and died and suffered on a cross in a humble way. He lets us know that this humble nature that he displayed is not something that ought to disturb us, but to lift up our spirits, because as Zechariah announced, he is righteous and brings salvation. This Jesus, this Palm Sunday King, is going to fight that big battle, and he's going to win the war. This same Jesus is going to be poor so that you might become rich, spiritually rich. This same Jesus is going to do all the dirty work to put all of your sins on his shoulders so that you might become right with God. As we find through the prophet, this Jesus, this perfect king, will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. After Zechariah died, there are all kinds of different rulers that took over the area of Palestine, whether it be Alexander the Great, Pompey, or Herod the Great. None of them fit the bill for this perfect king. Instead, it would be Jesus coming on Palm Sunday in a humble way, riding not on a white horse, but on a lowly donkey that was rented. And he's got 12 lowly disciples, most of them fishermen from the areas around Galilee. Now, we who live here in central Wisconsin, or wherever you're listening to, watching us from today, you know that we are not thrilled when we continue to see soldiers going off to fight wars for us overseas. We dread the day when something else might happen where soldiers are actually attacking our homes and businesses and trying to take away our livelihood. Well, you are in a spiritual war right at your own homes. Based on the fact that we have sinful lives and minds and hearts that are not pleasing to God, we are to be pitied because of what we are by nature, sinful and unclean. In a society that elevates the victim status, we know that we need an extraordinary king to fight our spiritual battles for us. As we take a closer look at Jesus, we find the answer to all of our pain, all of our sin, all of our spiritual death. We find in Jesus one who is righteous and brings salvation. This is your king who brings salvation. This is the king who became the payment for your sins. This is the king who rose triumphant from the grave. This is the king who gives us joy on this Palm Sunday. An extraordinary king. The one who's rescued us from sin, death, hell, and Satan. This victorious king who tells us he has come and given us an extraordinary kingdom. If you were to ask the young people living in the time of Zechariah, what kind of kingdom would you like? They might say, well, when we think about where we just came from Persia, that was a pretty big empire. That might be kind of nice to have that kind of kingdom. It was huge. And if you were to ask the older people, they might say, well, we certainly don't want the kind of kingdom we had before we got into exile, because that time of our Israelite history was just, we just had a small little area around the capital city. But if you were to ask those who knew the history, they might say, oh, we want the kingdom like David and And Solomon, that was a huge empire, a vast kingdom, and we were to be praised by all the nations around. But that's not the kind of kingdom that we need. That physical kingdom of David and Solomon are gone. We are told that Jesus will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Zechariah said, look at this extraordinary king. This king has provided a kingdom that is not just in one location like Saratoga Township. It's not just the state of Wisconsin. It's not just the United States. It's global. This kingdom of Jesus Christ is global. It extends to the far places of the earth. And Jesus tells us that his kingdom is not of this world. No king ever controlled the entire world. Not Caesar, not Charlemagne, not Frederick the Great, not even Napoleon. But Jesus' kingdom extends beyond to all areas of the world that he created. He says to his followers that he's going to send them out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. It's happened. Look at the extension of God's kingdom. Christ's kingdom has expanded to include all nations. And you have a role in that. You have a role in extending that kingdom of God's grace by your efforts to reach the lost. You are part of that kingdom. By God's grace, you have been called to be at peace with God, the peace to make you righteous, the peace that knows that as we go through this Holy Week, we are going to see Jesus betrayed, denied, and crucified, all part of God's plan to save God's people, the whole world. As you'll hear next Sunday, the glorious message of a risen Savior to let us know that indeed this kingdom is for everyone. To recognize that Christ Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer, and his kingdom extends to all. For members of Good Shepherd, you receive for free in your mailbox the Forward in Christ magazine. One of the neat things about having that magazine at your disposal is to be able to see how God's kingdom is working amongst us. As we see missionaries home and worldwide telling the wonderful stories of God's work getting done. Now, you may not be able to go to a foreign mission field. You may not even be able to start a home mission field here in our own country. But you have the privilege of using your gifts, financial gifts, to support home and world missions. You have the opportunity to pray regularly, daily, that those missions might be able to expand by God's grace and power and might. It's amazing that we have 350,000 members of our Wisconsin Synod and 32 other church bodies within fellowship throughout the entire world to see God's kingdom growing and advancing. But you know, there are Christians all over the world. We see them on Facebook, we see them on Twitter, we see them in all kinds of ways which God has given us the capability to do today, to expand that mission work, to expand our message of Jesus Christ, a crucified and a risen Savior. Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Man. He rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday to bring us peace that continues to serve the 7.8 billion people that are in this world. And the neat thing about it is you have a chance to be part of it because you are in that kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how you're feeling today. You'd rather be here with us in public worship, I understand. You may be getting discouraged with changes continuing to go on and more restrictions taking place. But rest assured, God has not forgotten you. He has presented you a rich and humble king. He's presented you the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Hosanna, the Lord who saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.